Good morning. Well, it is awesome to be here. I want to start off with a story that I want to share with you that took place a few years ago, and that was, or actually just a year ago. Last January, so January 2016, my wife and I bought our home. So we moved into it, and then about April, we were ready to cut the grass for the first time that year, first time ever on that lawn. And close to the house, there are some rocks that make like a flower bed. You know, it's very common. A lot of houses have that. So there's some lowland rocks in front of the house. And my wife actually cuts the grass at our house. So I said to her, Bethany, you can go ahead and just cut right over top of those rocks. The mower deck's high enough. It'll be fine. And Bethany looked at the rocks, looked at the lawnmower, and then looked at me and said, it's not going to work. And, you know, I am very persistent usually with my ideas. So I said, Bethany, I'm telling you, it's going to be fine. Just the deck's at the highest setting. Go ahead right over those rocks. It's going to be fine. So she looks at it again and says to me again, John, you're crazy. This isn't going to work. It's not going to happen. And so finally I persisted even further and she said, fine, I'll do it if you want me to. So she gets on the lawnmower, puts it on the highest setting. She goes and literally in an instant, as soon as she gets over top of the rocks, you start hearing the clanking and bumping all around, and the blade actually ended up splitting in half, shooting out of the lawnmower all sorts of directions. And I'm, you know, eating crow at this point, feeling like an idiot, and the lawnmower comes to a stalled stop. Now I've got even more work I have to deal with because I was trying to use this lawnmower for what a weed whacker was designed to do. And, you know, if I just bought a weed whacker at that point, I wouldn't have had this nightmare of events that I had to now fix and everything with it. Now, I share this story because it's a fun story. Hopefully some of you can relate to, you know, doing some mistakes like that where, you know, I'm sure I'm not alone in this. But the thing is, in life, I feel a lot of us are doing that same thing where, you know, God has created us with a design, with a purpose, something we're designed to do like that lawnmower was designed to cut grass, not to be a weed whacker. And some of us, we're trying to do a job, trying to fit into a hole that we're not designed to fit into. Because God's created us for a purpose, for a plan, and if we're trying to go against that plan, that purpose, we're going to cause damage, we're going to cause frustration, we're going to create more issues than if we would just do what we were designed and created to do. You know, so the first point that I want to make going into this is a very common one. Most of you here, I'm sure, are already on board with this, but that's that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And as I say, this is something that's sort of a life message for me. I love talking about purpose. I love talking about it because as we're functioning in the design, the thing that God's created us to do, we're operating at the maximum efficiency. We're doing what we're created to do and it just flows. It just works. It's just so awesome when it happens like that. And I love seeing God's people in the kingdom getting set up with what they know God's called them to do and running with it. Because when we're running according to God's plan, we're not experiencing burnout. We're not experiencing frustrations and things just not working because it's a natural fit. It's tailor-made for you. Amen. And God has that for each and every one of you here. And he promises this in Jeremiah 29:11, very common verse as well. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. As well, we see this in John 10:10 that says, you know, the thief has come to steal, to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full or more abundantly. So when we line up with his plan, it's that abundant, that full life, as long as we're partnering with God. And I want to flip to a scripture here, and we'll put it up on the screens, but if you have a Bible, you're welcome to turn to it. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. I feel this ties right in with what we're talking about here. We're getting to the key to the kingdom, but Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 10. And it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, God has designed and created us, just as we said, to do good works. But life is a lot more than just doing good works. And the best comparison I can make to this, I've brought a prop along with me today. I don't always do this, but I brought one. This is a phone charger, right? On its own, a phone charger is virtually useless. If I don't have the phone that plugs into it, it's no good, right? I can plug it into the wall all day long and it's no good. It's not going to charge anything if I don't have the device that gets plugged into it. Just like if I have the device that plugs into it, but I don't have a plug to plug it into, it's useless on that end as well. This is exactly how we can be as Christians as well. That we, like this verse says, we're created in Christ Jesus, so we have to be plugged into Christ, have to be connected to Christ, and then as well as to do good works. You know, faith without works is dead is what James tells us. That we have to be functioning in our purpose and doing what God's called us to do, that it's a partnership. And we're the conduit, if you will, that transfers the life power from God to this world. That as we're doing good works, we're called and created for those purposes. That's what God has designed us for. But we're going to look at another verse here in Colossians chapter 1. So that'll be up on the screen as well. We're going to look at verse 16 first. And it says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Okay, so this is one of those passages where if you blink, you kind of miss the whole heart behind it. So I'm going to read it one more time. Just hang out with me on this. It says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." So everything was made by Jesus, by God. "Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." Our purpose, our design is we're here for God. It's not just to accomplish good works. It's not just to accomplish tasks. We're here to bring honor and glory to God. And it requires that we remain plugged into him. And see, this is the big key. This is the key to the kingdom that I want to put forth today. Is that you are too valuable and too important to God to be created for a what. Rather, you're created for a who. You are not here for a what, for a mission, for a job, for a career, anything like that. That is not why you are here. You are here for a who. You're here for God. And as you get connected to the who, he'll show you the what that you need to do. He'll lead you to the what that needs to be done. And as you remain plugged in, you remain connected to him, he'll reveal that to you because he is the key to being doing the what. So as you live for the who, he will make the what known, the what clear. So let's look in the same chapter in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 now through 10. And it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." I love how this verse says this. They're praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. That as you remain connected to him, he's going to make his will known to you. He's going to show you the path to take. He's going to show you the job to get involved in, the people to connect with. He'll make the what known as you stay connected to the who. As I was preparing this, I came across a scripture that I feel drives this point home so incredibly. And it's in Joshua, actually. So we're going to look at Joshua chapter 5. And this is huge. Now, a while back, my dad did a series on entering into your promised land, and he used this passage actually in it. But this fits so perfectly with this, and how, I'll give you a little background. Joshua and the Israelite nation had just crossed the Jordan River. They're about to go against their very first enemy, their very first obstacle, which was Jericho. And we know the story of Jericho. It had the huge walls. No one had ever defeated Jericho before. It was their biggest struggle up to this point. And Joshua is praying and seeking God's help on this, and this is where our story picks up. So it's chapter 5 of Joshua, starting at verse 13. And it says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or are you for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. I love this in relation to this because Joshua is going against their biggest enemy. He's looking for God's guidance. He's looking for the what. How do I defeat this enemy? What do I need to do? He's looking for that, praying to God for that. And the moment he encounters God, the moment he's there, God says, "Take off your shoes. Make yourself comfortable." I view that as the equivalent of, "Take your jacket off. Come and rest in my presence. Be with me, and I'll make the what clear to you." I believe so strongly God's telling us this today. That he's saying, we're going to him saying, "God, what do I do with my life? What do I need to do in this situation or that situation?" And God's saying, "Just stay plugged into me. Take off your shoes. Relax with me, and I will make the what clear. As you spend time with me, I'll give you the instruction, but don't put a what before the who." Amen. And that can be a struggle. And I know I've dealt with that in my own life. We get caught up in busyness of life. We get so focused on tasks and projects and all these things that we need to do. When God the whole time is saying, "Focus on me and I'll give you the next step." So for those of you, I know we have some graduates in the room, some people just moving on in life, you know, you're maybe stressed out. Maybe you're focused and wondering, you know, what am I going to do with this next step in my life? I got this degree. I don't know what job to take. I don't know where to move to, whatever it is. But God's saying, stay connected to me and I'll make the what known. Maybe you're here and you've been in the same job for 40 years and you're in that same spot of you're asking, "God, I don't know what the next step is." God's saying, stay connected to me. Focus on me, and I'll make that next step clear to you. This is the key to the kingdom that I feel God put on my heart for this area here, is that as we are created and designed for a who and not a what. And I can't encourage you enough to keep that focus in life, and God will bless you as you do, as we're that phone charger that is staying plugged into God and doing good works as well, as a byproduct of our relationship with God. So if I could just have every head bowed and eye closed right now. Lord Jesus, I ask that you forgive us for putting what's in front of you, Lord Jesus. Putting projects and tasks and things that we felt were important in front of you in your place. And I ask that you help each and every person here to focus on you, to lean on you, to stay connected and plugged in with you first. And as a result of that, that you would make your purpose, your plan known to them, and that you would show them the direction to go in, God. I ask that you help all of us stay connected to you. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. There's one other thing I just want to wrap up with in regards to this, and that's, you know, the one question that came to mind during this, and maybe you're thinking, is, okay, I understand I need to stay connected, I need to do good works, but how can I stay connected? And there's multiple ways. This is one of the coolest things about God, too, is we can stay plugged into him, we can stay connected to him through multiple sources. There's reading the Word. I know some people that you can flip open the Bible, and all of a sudden the Bible just speaks volumes to you. Something jumps off the page, and God speaks to you through that. Others, it's through prayer. You sense God's ministering to you as you take time to pray and focus on him. For some of you, it might be worship. The second you get into worship, you're just in the zone. You just sense God's presence all over. For some of you, it's during fellowship times. And it's awesome because God can minister to each and every one of us in different ways, different aspects. And I can't encourage you enough to get plugged in with the way that works for you. And try all of those ways. Because God wants to speak to you, he wants to minister to you, and he will show you the what as you focus on him first, as you focus on the who. Amen? Thank you for giving me the time.